Around this time, a year ago, the only way to legally purchase marijuana in Ontario was on the internet. Other provinces opened retail stores on the day pot became legal in Canada. But Ontario was way behind. The government was desperate to get stores open as soon as possible, and they were working with really tight timelines. But in an effort to make sure that the licenses they were planning to grant were handed out fairly, they were also holding a lottery that was open to anyone. A single entry cost $75, and the winners would be announced right after the holidays. A lot of huge cannabis companies entered that Ontario lottery, but they had the exact same chance as thousands of regular entrepreneurs with big dreams. And this is the story of one of those people who won that lottery and then looked at his winning ticket and looked at the calendar and said, crap, I have to open a pot store in less than 3 months. I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings. This is The Big Story. Stephen Fry is the owner and operator of Canna Cabana in Hamilton. He's also the president and co-founder of Sessions Cannabis. Hey, Stephen.
Great to meet you, Jordan.
First, I guess, why? Why did you enter the lottery in the first place? How did it start?
Well, I found out on the radio, oddly enough, and for me it was $75 and a Hotmail email address. And I thought, why not? I mean, the barriers to entry at the time were so low. I remember reading about this, and I read online for a few hours, and I thought, there's got to be a catch. What am I missing? And sure enough, there wasn't a catch, and all that was required was an email address and $75 admission fee. So why not is really the answer.
What were you thinking when you did it, or right after you did it, what happened?
When I applied, I was sitting around my dining room table. My mother and father-in-law were sitting on the couch, and I said, I'm going to apply to the cannabis lottery. And they all made a joke and think, what are you doing, right? So I was just thinking, what's my next big opportunity in commerce? I didn't really have a big game plan, to be honest with you. I wasn't following cannabis too closely prior to this. And again, why not? I mean, it was such an easy process to enroll in. It seemed like a no-brainer to me.
What were the odds of winning one of these things at the time?
There were 17,000 submissions for five regions across the province. I submitted to all five regions, thinking, why not? Again, I'll have five times the odds of winning. So one in 17,000, in theory, were the odds of winning one of these things. So I'm a lucky dude.
Tell me about the moment when you realized you did win. How'd you find out?
Well, it's funny. I get asked this question a lot. And for me, I wasn't even following it that closely. I mean, I applied. You know, there was a couple-week process in between applying and the lottery results being drawn. And a friend of mine that I went to high school with, who was in the cannabis industry, reached out to me on Facebook Messenger, and he said, hey, is this a Stephen Fry? I think it is. And sure enough, I go to my Hotmail email address, and I check, and there's this letter from the AGCO saying, hey, you've been selected, congratulations, and here I am, right? So, yeah.
What was your first thought when you saw that email?
What next? I didn't know what to expect. And to be honest, I had a rude awakening. I feel like now I have a PhD in retail cannabis in a matter of months. I mean, opening a store in a matter of, you know, 4 to 8 weeks is no small task for anybody to accomplish. So it was a big kick in the butt. There's no doubt about that.
So why don't you tell me, because I think a lot of us knew about the licenses and knew about the relative scarcity of them, but not necessarily how quickly the process unfolded. So you get this email that you won, that you can get a license. What happens next and how fast does it move?
Well, I believe I had 1 week to turn over what's called a letter of credit to the government. It was a $50,000 fee. The money for $50,000 wasn't an issue for me. It was about getting the letter of credit. And what I quickly found out that no big bank in the province or in the country wanted to touch cannabis. I remember calling the Alcohol Gaming Commission saying, hey guys, I can't figure this out. What do I do? And they said, well, if you can't figure it out within a week, then you're going to be disqualified. So
really?
That seems a little bit unfair. I mean, it sounds like everybody I'm speaking with that were successful in this process also have the same challenge. So banking was number one priority for me, and it was a whirlwind, and certainly took me by storm trying to get this figured out in short order.
You said other people had the same problem. So you were in contact with them?
I was. One of my strategies early days was to get in contact with all the other lottery recipients to figure out what's going on. I mean, again, it was uncharted territory. Lots of big companies were contacting me. I wanted to figure out what everybody else was hearing, what everybody else was being offered, you know, what was the scoop. So I did make relations with some of the other lottery recipients, and every single other person had the same challenge. They couldn't figure out how to get this letter of credit.
When you say the big companies were reaching out to you, what does that look like? What do they want?
Well, a lot of them, before this lottery process for the average Joe to apply like myself, the government initially was going to open us up to the free market. And a lot of these bigger companies that were already established in other provinces had footholds in the market. They were ready to go. They had real estate. They had the system set up. So they wanted their chance to be able to use those things. So they wanted to partner with me and help me through this process because they were ready before this. And in fairness, I mean, I'm some lucky guy that comes along with this ticket and they were already ready to go.
Yeah. So when you have that ticket and they're making you these partnership offers, what did you kind of get a sense was the value just of you having won that ticket? Like what kind of money are we talking about?
Yeah, it quickly changed. I mean, initially it was, hey, you pay us a fee to franchise our brand because, you know, we have a system that's already established and we have a concept and policy, procedure, et cetera. And it quickly turned into, okay, we want to pay you money now because we want you to have a kind of reverse licensing fee. We want our brand to be known in the province of Ontario. We want to be first to market. So we're happy to throw some money your way to help make that happen. So it really ranged. I mean, I saw offers everywhere from $100,000 upward to $1 million to buy these things. But many of them came with catches. Many of them came with you had to sell your entire license. Many of them would have been offside with the government because they really cared about control. I mean, I won this thing after all. And the government did not want some other third party coming in and control this thing. That was not the spirit of the lottery. So that created a whole bunch of nuance to figure this thing out.
In the interest of kind of questioning the big picture here, why would the government want someone like you who has no experience selling cannabis to have these licenses more than people who have proven track records of selling it elsewhere? Like, what's the rationale for that?
It's a good question. I think the government was kind of stuck. I mean, once it was opened up to free market, what else were they to do other than create a fair and open process? I mean, they had to have the ability for everybody to apply. Otherwise, they'd been ridiculed from somebody else, right? So they were kind of stuck. I think, you know, hindsight's 20/20. If I were the government, I probably would have looked at more of a merits-based system to weed guys like me out initially. But you know what? The process was the process. I didn't create the rules. I just played by them, right? So,
sure.
But it's hard. I mean, if you're the government, you want to have small business, you know, benefiting from this. So I think that was their initial intent. I honestly don't think the government anticipated these big players come out of the woodworks to do this.
Well, you said you met and talked to a lot of the other people who won the lottery. By and large, what are they like? Are they like people like you who were like, well, $75, I might as well take a chance?
It's a mixed bag. I mean, lucky for me, I was an executive prior to this. I'm a commerce guy. I'm an MBA by trade. So I'm a business person. I think a lot of people that won these things, or a good chunk of them, weren't business people at all. And in many facts, you know, I talked to a few people that certainly weren't of the highest caliber of business standings. But again, that's the luck of the draw that you get when you open up to no merits, right?
So the time is ticking and you're getting offers from larger companies and you're still trying to secure a note of credit. What happens then?
So I come up, I figure out that Alterna Bank is the only bank in the province accepting anybody that can do this in within a reasonable timeline. So I figured that piece out. So I got that that check, kind of that box checked. Then it was trying to figure, okay, what next? How do I open up this store? How do I create a brand? How do I find the money to open the store? I mean, it's not cheap opening a cannabis store. So things like surveillance system or security systems, as an example, those can cost upwards of $50,000. Right. And then you think about things like construction. And all meanwhile, I have this penalty imposed on me by the government of upwards of $50,000 if I'm late. So I had a big gun to my head and I had to move fast. So
how long did you have from when you got the license and got the credit to when the store had to be open?
So I found out in early January, mid-January, excuse me, when I was selected or had the right to apply for a license. By the time I received my license, it was closer to March, and then I had to open in April.
Really?
April 1st was when the first penalties, after April 1st, that was when the first penalty started being enacted. It was $12,500 every 2 weeks, and then $25,000 at the end of the month, so $50,000 in total.
So you've got the license now, but you've got no store or anything. Yeah. How do you get those things together on that timeline?
Well, it was crazy. I mean, lucky for me, again, coming from the world of business and the world of project management, I helped build hospitals prior to this. So I was sophisticated in terms of project management. It was creating a big master project plan and every single day grinding away at that. I mean, these were at a minimum 15, 16-hour days every day for months on end until I was able to pull this off. I mean, hiring contractors, hiring designers, hiring architects, you know, getting millwork in place for your cabinetry getting things like insurance, security systems, hiring employees. I mean, there's a whole, I had to start a whole new business within a matter of, I'd say, 6 to 8 weeks at most.
How did you find a place to put the store? I know here in Toronto, there was a lot of anger over where these stores would be located, how far from this or that, how accessible to kids.
Yeah. For me, I received a license for the West region, and that encompassed everything from more or less Hamilton to Niagara Falls to Windsor, and then also the Guelph and Cambridge, et cetera. So I had a pretty wide area to choose from. The large part of my choosing was figuring out where everybody else was going. I didn't want to open where other people are going. I had this time to have more or less a monopoly and oligopoly situation. Why would I want to open the same city as somebody else is opening? So that was a big chess match. So I initially was going to open in Guelph. The community had some uproar because it was near an addiction center, so they didn't like that. So I decided to stay away from that in the spirit of being a good corporate citizen. And then I was going to go to London, Ontario. Then I found out that two or three others were opening in London, Ontario. I was going to go to Windsor, and then they opted out. And then, you know, I thought, you know, I've got roots in Hamilton. I'm a Mac grad. I have properties there. I think Hamilton's going to be a really great place. So that's how I landed in Hamilton.
What about the exact location of the store, though? How hard was it to find someone that would lease or rent to you or whatever?
That was very, very difficult. Cannabis is highly stigmatized. I think most landlords would rent to me, but they wanted a massive premium, and a premium that I just wasn't willing to pay. So I ended up finding a location where the initial government, when they were going to do this on their own through a company called Ontario Cannabis Store, they were going to open in this plaza that I found. And I found that out, and I thought, okay, great. The government's already done some due diligence on this location. Why not go there? So I found out through my network that was, in fact, a location they were going to open. And I thought, let's do it. Let's go for it.
How do you try to stock a store from nothing and determine what your clientele is when there is no clientele yet?
That was that's a tough question. I mean, I did not know what to expect, and nor did anybody. It was the first stores opening in the province of Ontario.
Also, for the record, do you smoke pot?
I do smoke pot. I'm a casual smoker. I'm a rookie to care to most. I often get asked when I'm in the store, like the customers will ask us, have you tried this product?
Yeah.
If I had to try every product, I would be stoned every single day of my life because, I mean, there's 180 or so producers now online. We carry 150 different products in store. So I think about the math on that alone, right? So,
well, that's what I'm trying to get a sense of because, like, you're trying to plan to offer God knows how many strands and varieties and formats of pot, but you have no data on who's buying what?
Very little data. Now, don't forget that it was available online prior to the stores coming and opening.
Right.
So there was a single data point available that was relatively secretive.
Did they give that info to you about like what were the most popular brands on the Ontario Cannabis Store?
Not necessarily. I think the benefit I had is a lot of the licensed producers that grow the stuff obviously want shelf space.
Right.
So they wanted to convey information to you. They wanted to help train your staff. So that was very helpful. So I was able to kind of navigate those murky waters early days by connecting with those producers. But I didn't know what to expect. I mean, think about it. I'm planning this opening day. I'm opening on 420, which is synonymous with cannabis consumers. And I didn't know how many people are going to show up. Is it one of those situations where build and they shall come? Or is it, I'm going to build this and nobody's going to show up? And, you know, I certainly went for the former. I went big at this. I planned a really big opening day and they came. I mean, we had the first customer line up at 4:20 in the morning. It was on the security footage and it was a rainy and it was a cold day. And we had upwards of a lineup of 2 hours that day, all day long, for people that to make history. It was the first ever licensed store we're opening in Hamilton, Ontario. And you may know, we sold out. We were selling out within 3 days.
You weren't alone.
I was actually one of two stores in the province that sold out.
Really?
It was me and another company out of Ottawa, oddly enough. We are the two fastest selling stores in the country, for that matter. So we were selling, my allocation was 25 kilograms a week. We would be selling that within 3 to 4 days at most.
Where do you go from here? Because there's now more licenses granted, there's more competition coming. And correct me if I'm wrong, but you're not allowed to kind of become a franchisor, are you, and open up other stores?
So my license, I'm one of 24 people have a license in Ontario right now, as it stands. The government did not allow me to participate in the second round.
Right.
Oddly enough, they wanted to open
up again. So you get the one store.
I have one store right now. My license allows me to put more stores in the future when the government allows more stores to come online. But what I've done through the Sessions Cannabis brand is we have, in fact, franchised more or less a concept and a brand to people that won the second round. So we're opening a store in Toronto in on Kingston Road in the Beaches, and a store opening up in Collingwood right downtown. Collingwood's coming online in December, and Toronto's coming online in January. People that won the lottery the second go around saw a guy like me and said, well, this guy knows what he's doing. He's been through the trenches. He has a concept. He's got a brand. I'll partner with him. They'll still maintain control of their store, but they'll utilize the resources and brand that we have available.
So you're partnering with them the way Canna Cabana partnered with you.
You got it. You got it.
So you became one of those guys that was calling you in the first place.
I became one of them. Now, the difference, of course, is I am one of them. You know, I'm the cousin or the sister or the brother. I'm part of the family. You know, I'm part of the team. So there's a certain level of trust that people have with me because I've been in their shoes. I kind of know what they've heard, what they've seen, what people are approaching them with. So I can navigate through some of the murky waters that these guys are experiencing and cut to the chase and give a deal or give an offering that's much more transparent, that allows them to maintain control, that doesn't make them sell their license. So a lot of people have had very much interest in that because I've been in their shoes.
What kind of people want to work for you and work at a pot shop? I'm curious.
Well, listen, finding people to work in a cannabis store is actually quite easy.
I can imagine.
You know, for example, at Sessions Cannabis, we posted jobs recently for the Toronto store coming online January and Collingwood in December, and we had to take those ads down. We received, you know, 300, 400, 500 submissions in a matter of days. There was a pretty thriving gray or black market prior to this. Mm-hmm. A lot of folks that were in that industry wanted to get in more involved in the legal industry. This is a new industry and it's evolving, so people really want to get in and jump at it. So a lot of people are, in some cases, are taking pay cuts to jump in because they want to really get involved in this industry. So every walk of life comes to want to work in the space. We've had people coming from previous retail experience. We've had people from the illicit market. We've had people just from people like the Home Depot and others. Like everybody wants to get in, right? So it's not hard finding it. It's hard to get the right people that want to play within a licensed and regulated environment. Mm-hmm. Again, if you were in the illicit market before this, you know, often you're dealing with monies in a garbage bag somewhere in some cases, mm-hmm. or products where there wasn't any regulation on it. And when you come into this environment, it's much more strict. I mean, you can't talk about health benefits. It's very regimented in terms of inventory control, very regimented in terms of cash management. So it's a different game. But every walk of life wants to work at a cannabis store.
Having gone through this whole thing from application to business owner to now expanding to partner, what would you say, and I mean, especially even given your background in business, what would you say is the most unique thing about the cannabis industry?
Oh, well, I think there's a few things I'd say. The first thing I'd say is the stigma. I mean, think about this. You know, I've been called a drug dealer. I've sat across some C-suite people in my days.
Well, you are a drug dealer.
I guess technically I'm a drug dealer, but I'm a licensed business person. I always tell people if I opened LCBO, nobody would shun an eye at it,
sure.
Right?
Yeah.
I remember that when some of the executives I worked at, somebody told me once I had a moral obligation not to do this because
really?
It's cannabis. And I told that person that, you know, this is a licensed legal business. And I am a licensed legal business person.
Right.
But again, there's such a stigma early days. I do think it's wearing off now. I think over time, you'll become much more like the LCBO equivalent. You know, some of the barriers will be taken down where you don't need to have opaque windows. You don't need to have, you know, all these fancy security systems. You know, children can't walk by and see in the store today. Meanwhile, in LCBO, they can walk around with their parents. So,
mm-hmm.
I think the game will evolve. I think it'll change, but certainly the stigma was the biggest surprise and learning that I had to deal with early days.
You really didn't expect it to be that bad?
Listen, I was wet behind the ears and entering the space. I didn't expect a lot of things. I've had a big kick in the butt. I've had to get in the gear. I've had to get in the driver's seat, and I've learned a lot. This last, you know, 10 months for me, I've learned more in the last 10 months than I've learned in a lifetime of business and in school and other things. So it's been a tremendous amount of learning. But I didn't know what to expect. Mm-hmm. So I don't think anybody did. I mean, it's the first time opening a store in the province. I mean, how do you know, right?
Thanks, Stephen.
Thank you, Jordan.
Stephen Fry, the owner and operator of Canna Cabana Hamilton, and also the president and co-founder of Sessions Cannabis. That was The Big Story. For more from us, including other stories you may remember about pot in Canada, head to thebigstorypodcast.ca. You can also talk to us on Twitter at TheBigStoryFPN. And of course, everywhere you get podcasts, we are there. Apple, Google, Stitcher, Spotify, Pocket Casts, you name it. Thanks for listening. I'm Jordan Heath-Rawlings. We'll talk tomorrow.